Hey everybody, I'm Jody Vance.
And I'm George Affleck.
And Scout is here, if you're watching. That's my dog, because Unspun is so jam-packed. George, I don't think we can fit this all into the fastest 30 minutes in politics. We're going hyper-local, then we're going super federal and even international again. But we're just going to start with, I think, the definition of insanity.
It's not Unspun.
Seriously.
Right. Definition of insanity is, are you talking about the crime spree of downtown Vancouver, my neighborhood, my hood?
I pretty much am, because isn't the definition of insanity not doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome?
Yep.
So we have been talking about increased random acts of violence on this podcast. I think if we went back, we've probably mentioned it every week. And here we go. Like, set up what happened in your neighborhood. You must have been scared at 11:30 yesterday morning.
Yeah, it was crazy. This was at a 7-Eleven, just down, well, it's down closer to the Library Square, which is by CBC and all that area there, the entertainment district. And so it's about four blocks from where I live. Yeah, I mean, it was crazy because, of course, we live in this time where everything gets caught on film. And these people were, you know, with their phones, like, right in the
right
doorway.
In it.
Like, I would be running down, like, I'd bye.
Even one of the cops kind of wearing a bulletproof vest, like, kind of jumped out of the way and went behind a pillar. And there's this dude just standing with his phone out, just like pointing it in the sliding doors of the 7-Eleven.
Yeah,
like,
really,
what is
like,
happening to us
horrible,
as a society?
Horrible, horrible stuff. And so, just another, and obviously this guy's a drug addict or whatever, going in to steal some money, and he robbed another place, and this is just kind of standard procedure now. And but the response, though, from the mayor, well, crime is down. Crime is down 6.5%. Like, she doesn't feel like it. And I think, and then just to hear the buck being passed back and forth, you know, I think that certainly for those of us who live downtown, and maybe, I don't know how you feel, and all across the city and across the province, because we've got listeners everywhere, you know, I just get the sense that it's just not, it may be down, it's because maybe they're just not catching them the way they should. I don't know. It doesn't feel like it. And I know that for the women in my life, they don't feel safe. I often feel threatened when I'm walking downtown, certainly down Granville Street. We generally avoid Granville Street now.
Right.
But there's a park, David, park that's right, the corner of Davie and Richards, which is a block from my place. My kids, you know, played there growing up. It just doesn't feel safe. And that was where the safe injection site was, but it doesn't seem to have changed much as far as the impact that the neighborhood we're seeing on the neighborhood. It just, and we have, so we have this new, we have a solicitor general, and his deputy is, you know, is the MLA for this neighborhood. So, we have high expectations of the NDP, given that they've put two cops in charge of policing in this province. Now, and so I would expect immediate action, but I don't think we'll get it.
So let's just dial it back to the feeling, right? Like the feeling of safety when moving through this province. Born and raised British Columbian, born and raised Vancouverite, and a woman, by the way. Yes, at the very, very earliest of memories, I recall my very proactive mother and my free-ranging mother explaining to me how to put my keys through my fingers facing out in the event of being attacked. Go for their eyes and use your keys. Okay, so being aware and being safe and being cautious is one thing. In the last, I'm going to say 3 years, because COVID was weird, right? When we all, when the eyes came off the street, you taught me about that. You know, when there's nobody, broken glass syndrome, what do you call it? Broken glass?
Well, I mean, eyes on the street. That's where they're putting cafes and restaurants and giving them more patio space so that there's, you know, entertainment, music, that kind of stuff.
Just back to the just feeling of security. I think for the first time in my lifetime, everybody is feeling what women have always had to feel, which was that extra layer of vulnerability, because this randomness of it, like, as there was a time where you could just stay out of trouble, you stay out of trouble. But now this Guy walking down the street gets sucker punched by some rando
Yeah, that one
who just
too.
like lays him out and runs off. It's like,
And then the guy
what
got
the
his
heck?
hand chopped off, and the other guy getting killed, was that a month ago, 2 months ago?
Yeah. And it's
Yeah.
just so normalized all of a sudden. And thank you, elected officials, for trying to pass the buck across the, you know, and that's why I
Around and
don't
around.
like the partisanship that it's like, well, you know, 9 years of so and so or whatever, blah, 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 or our party could fix it. You know what? You're all on my dime. You're all being paid by us. Do something.
I
Do
mean,
something.
we have a premier who is the head of the Pivot Legal Society, which his main mandate is to obstruct the police from doing his job. So clearly we know where our premier stands on crime and punishment. Not a strong level of support there from our premier.
But what can the premier
So,
do about punishment? Isn't it, isn't
well,
that the
it's.
thing we've learned about catch and release? Because David Eby seems to be saying we need stricter rules around repeat offenders. Like I've heard him say that, and then it gets passed up the line to the federal government, and then nothing happens. I mean,
Yeah, but we're also in charge of policing. I think there's many layers here. Obviously, the drug addiction and all that stuff feeds into this. There's multiple things that the
see, we're back
province
to the
can be
pillars.
doing. Yeah, like foster care. There's all the different things that we've talked about on all many occasions, and I brought up
Since
through
day one.
politics that there's such a clear path to what's going on here. There's addiction, there's housing, there's so what are the portfolios that the province and the city can oversee that can beyond the Criminal Act? Which, the issue is people are getting, why are people becoming more criminal? Why are we seeing more of this? Where does this all
But it's
start?
everywhere. So you can't really say it's the BC government because it's here. It's next door in Alberta. It's down the road. It's, you know, it's across the country. It's down the I-5. It's across the pond. This is happening on a larger scale. I don't think anybody has an answer to it. I really don't. And it freaks me out. I do feel unsafe in this city. Like I worry about what might happen with a whole bunch of fun-loving Swifties rolling into town. And there being some really marginalized people. I went to Commercial Drive day before yesterday for an appointment. And as I was leaving my appointment, it was 4:15, right by the SkyTrain station there, the commercial Broadway SkyTrain, whatever. And like throw down screaming match of like profanity and threats. And it was just like unhinged. I was like getting in my car, checking to see if my doors are locked, looking in the back seat to see if anybody would come into my car while I was parked. Like, I used to walk with my keys in my hand, but I wouldn't freak out once I was in my locked car. This all seems weird. It seems, yeah.
I
Crime
think,
up or down, I still don't feel that safe in my town, I have to say.
and I think it's important for us to be vocal about this, all of us, to continue to not be afraid to say we need to be harder on criminals. I think
Right?
people have been for too long afraid to say those kinds of things. And obviously, people are saying, and it's one of the reasons we saw the conservatives do so well. That was what they campaigned on.
Yeah.
Ironically, lost the one riding that was the center of all this. I
Right.
don't understand how the NDP won at Yale Town. It's a mystery to me that Melissa lost by 800 votes, who's married to a cop. I mean, it's like, but she did, and they lost their chance to.
But the cop won.
But the
So the
cop
cop's
won, but
wife didn't
nobody,
win, but the cop won.
But yeah,
Can
just
I,
surprised me. Anyways,
while we're terribly
there's no
frustrated,
easy
can I bring up
solution.
something? Sorry?
It's no easy solution. It's going to cost a lot of money. That's what we have to
Right.
come to terms with.
But it is costing more, I think, right now than actually implementing the thing. But we have to start building the places and spaces. Like there's it throwing a bunch of addicted people who are unwell when it comes to their mental state into jail will not fix anything. It
Well,
won't.
and we've closed
We
all the
need
institutions
to
down.
help people,
Yeah,
I think.
but we're not allowed to do that anymore either. Can't put
But
people
that's
in
what
institutions.
my point being, once we decide we want to do those things, we have to actually have places
Yes.
and spaces for people to go that aren't private pay rehab clinics for $20,000 a month or whatever it is. Let's talk about Park Board.
Oh,
Want to talk about
God.
Park Board? Just while I'm at it. So, 2026 FIFA World Cup, super
Yes.
exciting. It's going to cost us the better part of a half a billion dollars, probably a billion. Let's be honest. But there are two parks, two, that will cost the taxpayer, I believe it's right in around
The
25,
Vancouver taxpayers, yes.
$25 million for two parks that, by the way, the upgrades on these two parks mean they will be closed for the next 24 months, right?
Yeah. And they're existing parks. They're
Yeah.
not new
One of
parks.
them's a bog, like one of them's a swampy mess, and but the other one is where everybody uses it because there are so many crappy parks because the park board's been so crappy for so long. Sorry, was that out loud? What do
I
you
mean,
think of
I
all
don't
this? Because
have.
I love the idea of the World Cup, but it's just the amount of money, and is the legacy there for $25 million on two parks? I don't know.
Well, I would say that parks are expensive for sure. Look at the one on Richard Street close to me. That one, it's super interactive. It's a really
Right.
beautiful park. Cost, I think, 15 million in the end, I think it was. Double check that. But it was expensive, and it took forever to build. So they are expensive to put the right stuff in that people will actually use. That was a teeny, teeny pocket park. So it is expensive, but of course you and I, and I think our viewers and listeners know, our confidence in the park board's ability to do anything properly
It's
on budget,
waning. It's waning.
and so we're also in the midst of this takeover by the city, which could happen before the end of this year, potentially. If you know, I mean, with given what we're seeing, that could happen in this right in the spring session. The premier could easily throw that on the table, get it done, and then we have a whole new system here in Vancouver. But you know, given the budget I just saw for Vancouver, I don't have a lot of confidence in our city government as well. 5.5%. I mean, that plus 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 plus. We're looking at massive, and the fact that they're arguing that this is like, you know, a lot smaller than the last two budgets. I mean, give me a break. When I was in council, I would complain about 2% increased budgets. Now they're
That's where
celebrating
they
a
got us, hey?
5.5. Like, come on.
Right? Because wasn't it like, it might be 15%. Oh, wait, it's only 10. Only 10?
I don't.
10 is good news? 9 is good news? 5 is good news? Come on. And then on top of it all, what are we getting for that money? Nothing. This whole leaky roof thing. The roof is leaking and we have to fix it. It's like,
They haven't done any cuts at all.
no.
I mean, nothing has changed at City Hall under AEVC as far as I can tell. And I've offered many times to get my red pen out and help them out. They've not taken me up on my offer.
Weird. Weird that they aren't having
So,
you
you know,
help
but there's
them.
no, I don't see any, and I certainly don't, on a, you know, the only opportunity might be, you know, the Green Party and Pete Fry running against them. And I think he has a good chance he could probably win. But he's certainly not looking at being tight on the budget. He would spend more. So there's nobody that I see coming up from the ranks interested in showing that they can be more frugal in this city. And I don't understand. You know, it's just unbelievable to me. I don't care. You could say this is the old dollar, you know, 20, you know, cup of coffee argument. But okay, my taxes are going to go up like $200 this year for my condo or whatever. But 200, oh, that's nothing. At $200, what are you complaining about? Hey, $200, $200, $200, $200. My taxes are up double to what they were when I used to live in Neil. I mean, that's not cool. And the $2 billion and plus, I mean, come on, what the hell
Okay,
going
now do the art gallery. Now do the art
on?
gallery,
Yeah,
George.
well, and I was, you know, I was on council when that came to us, and I was like, I don't think this is
So, how
possible.
long ago was that? How
10,
many?
10 year, 10 years ago that
10 years
first
at
came to
how
council.
much per year paid to the architectural firm that created the artwork and planned the thing and did the stuff and the meetings and the lunches and the catering and the thing and the stuff and the whatever. And you know what? We need arts, we need culture, but I think our process is broken. You know,
Can we just go back to the plan that was on the 2000 election campaign that I ran on, which was that whole site where this art gallery, for those who don't know Vancouver, it's behind the CBC building. There's this big parking lot, basically,
prime real estate.
prime real estate owned by the city. It used to be a park and a school or something, and then it was a bus depot for a long time.
Yeah,
And
I remember that.
then it's
It was a
been,
loop.
yeah. And now it's, and so the city gave them half the property. The province divvied up 50 million under Gordon Campbell. I think it's great to get a new art gallery. But
Yeah.
the plan that we put forward in 2011 when I ran, and I was at the press conference and led the press conference, was that this whole site should be a partnership with the private sector. You have all the space, or the federal government, whoever wants to have a, what else can we put on this site to underwrite the cost of the art gallery? It's easy. It can be done. Shouldn't
I
cost
watched a
a dime.
fascinating interview with Bob Rennie. Bob Rennie, who, knows a thing or two about developing, knows a thing or two about real estate, is very philanthropic and collects art. He is now so frustrated with this whole process that he's like, I'm not even putting my art in there anymore. He's like, I'll put it somewhere else. No,
Well,
he was like,
he was always opposed to it.
but opposed to it because of what you just said.
Yeah.
He was actually putting his art into it, even when he was opposed to. He's like, I've been saying from the beginning that this is a pipe dream. It's too big. It's too over the top. It's all about the building instead about the contents, right? It's this mindset. I don't know whose it is, so I can't blame anybody. I certainly don't blame the people that are working really hard to create a vibrant arts community and culture. And I do believe that an awesome art gallery downtown is vital to the future of our city and our province. We talk about the museum in Victoria, but like the museum in Victoria, I don't think we need to spend $1 billion
No.
on a
I mean,
building.
you've been to
And
the
Bob
Louvre in
Rennie, just
Paris, right?
this one last bit that Bob Rennie said that I think is so important is he said, similar to what you said, I would take that property that's prime real estate and I would build something like with the private sector and the province or and the city and make it. At first, he said business space. And he's like, actually, we don't need business space now. We need place for people to live. So mixed use, rental and housing and whatever. And the taxes from that building, just the taxes from that building, would pay for the new art gallery in perpetuity. I'm like,
Why not? Well, also,
why aren't we doing
we need a
that?
new city hall. We need a new. We're renting so much space for staff across the city.
Let's just stay on the art gallery for one sec.
No, that could be there. That could be there
Yeah.
in that site. You could develop
Right,
a
but
site.
they would do it for $1 billion with some fancy architect from Sweden, or whatever. But now we've ripped all that up. So the 10, the 12, the 14 years since it was approved, everything that's happened now is like, psh, 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 yeah, we're not doing that anymore.
Yes.
Okay.
You've been to the Louvre in Paris. It's mostly underground.
Yeah.
Dig a hole and put the gallery underground where you have temperature controlled situation, blank
Big
wall,
rooms. Yeah.
and then you can instead of parking underneath there, you put a bunch of gallery space, and then
Yeah.
above you do whatever you want that pays for whatever you're building underground. It's not an art gallery. It can be an architecturally beautiful building that's not,
Sure.
the entrance can be, I mean, the Louvre has that little glass, pyramid. That's
Pyramid. Yeah.
it. That's what you
That
think about.
everybody
There's
does
some
this
buildings
over top
around.
of.
That's right.
So, okay. So I'm just flabbergasted at how long this has been going on for. I don't know that I'll see this art gallery in my lifetime. That's where we're
Well,
coming to in some of these projects that are ballooning. Like we've seen it. It's like it's going to be $100 million. Oh wait, it's $500 million. Oh wait, it's $1 billion. We're throwing around numbers like this, and I think people are just. I know I am getting exhausted by it all because it feels like it's all out of control. Somebody's getting rich right now. Somebody
private
is.
public partnerships, that's all I can say, which is I
That's
always
all I
argue
know.
for, but this provincial government's very opposed to private public partnerships, and I don't see the city and this party that's in control being able to understand how to do that either. So it's going to sit fallow for another 2 years at least until the next election, and then we'll see what happens.
And that's what it is. They're all, you've taught me so much over the course of Unspun. Unspun podcast is really about taking the spin out of what these headlines are. And these types of things are the sparkly things that you have a problem and then you run on the solution and then you get elected and then you don't solve the problem. Like,
I will give you, and we've talked about this, the best example, although some would consider the worst, was when Doug McCallum ran for mayor and he said he was going to do two things. And one was the SkyTrain to Langley, cancel the other train that was going to Newton,
yeah, LRT.
a police force. And he, within like a couple of weeks after getting elected, he implemented the process. He pounded it through. Love or hate Doug McCallum, whatever. Now we have a separate police force, and we have a train going to Langley. And you got to keep your goals minimal, and you got to act fast. So if NEBC in Vancouver said they were going to be, they said they were going to be fiscally prudent. Why have we seen the three biggest budgets in the history of Vancouver in the last 3 years?
And the ballooning staff, like we used to jokingly do the 43
46,
communication,
48, 52,
40,
who
like
knows?
50, like for the mayor's office, like just the number of people
Yeah.
at six figures, like what for what? I mean, I'm totally pivoting to that story of the busted. Have you heard? I'm pointing over here because it's Point Grey over there. The busted down garage that was falling down into the laneway of the really nice houses. And all the people were like, we can't believe, like, what's happening with this? Why can't with this? These people are not fixing their garage. And then we come to learn it's actually the permitting. Can't get a permit to fix it. Can't get it.
Yeah.
What about the 1 week, 3 weeks, 3 months thing? I'm not
Oh
hearing
yeah,
that.
I forgot about that.
I'm not
What
hearing
about
that.
why are all the bridges closed right now when every single bridge and every single exit and another one I got on First Avenue, that's closed to one lane too. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah.
It's insane. Anyways, whatever.
Maybe
Meanwhile,
the
I got a
Bank of Canada is going to cut rates, though. Maybe that'll help some
yeah,
people. Mind you,
that's
our investments will be hit, but.
No,
At
we need
least
it. The
people
real
in
estate market,
massive.
you saw Toronto, right? Zero starts. I think the real estate market has gone to pretty much zero new developments. It's crazy. And that is just going to create a bottleneck in the future. It just creates more demand when you don't have the supply, when the market comes back, which it will. Suddenly you don't have any projects. This is why the way government should work in a democratically elected capitalistic society, where when the times are tough, the government comes in and builds stuff. And when times are good, they pull back and let the private sector do its thing. So right now in
Should
Toronto,
be
the government should
government.
be focusing on building social housing, whatever housing, any kind of housing to fill that void with the money that they would have set aside when times were good. But nobody does this. Nobody does it.
But when you ask politicians if they're doing it, they'll tell you they are. Like that whole like we're gonna spin your head around in so many ways. It's like, looking at the incoming US president, we've talked about this before and the trade war looming and what have you, but then Prime Minister Trudeau off to Mar-a-Lago he goes. How do you feel about that?
I think they made a mockery of him. I would not have advised him to go that early. I would have said wait till he's the president of the United States. He's currently just the president-elect. He hasn't been sworn in. And of course, he made a mockery of him and released all the jokes that he made about Canada being the first, who of course got, it came from Trump, his team, 51st state for Canada. What drives me crazy
Just
is seeing
joking.
Canadians supporting this. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's just.
So he, I just think it was really bad, a bad look for him, and he should have just said, I'll look forward to meeting the president when he's the president. He should have gone and met Biden and maybe got some things from him. I don't know, a pardon for being, for
What do
whatever.
you see? What do you see happening? Oh, let's talk about that. Hunter Biden being pardoned by his dad
Didn't we
and the
briefly talk about it
blowback.
last week? I or maybe it was pre-show. I can't remember. I mean, what the hell? Why not? Why not? Like, what difference does it make anymore?
I'm so blown away by the pearl clutching. We did talk about it last week. Sorry. But the pearl clutching on right-wing media outlets about it when you look at the Republican history of absolutely pardoning family members like this. It's just so interesting how the different and I look at the
I would.
apparently I'm talking to Siri across the way there by just
Oh, okay.
talking. That's interesting. But it kind of blows my mind. Like, where are all the Democrats now? Like
Well,
it's
I
like
think.
everybody was sucked into a vacuum. The only people I hear from now are Adam Kinzinger, right?
Yeah.
Rachel Maddow's losing, like everything's coming out the top of her head. Like she's like, there's too much to tell you.
I think since last week, what we've seen is the Democrats who were all like, how, hey, this is the process. And when Hunter Biden got, his sentence and all, well, that's the way it works. That's how now suddenly all those people are going, well, and they're trying to find, why not just say, you know what? Screw it. Like Biden, his son was, and you would argue that some would argue that it wasn't a good process, but what the hell? This guy's kid,
Yeah.
clearly
You know what
part
I
of.
would have said if it was me? If I was what's Jean-Pierre, like the press secretary for Joe Biden, because everybody's like keying in on the fact that he kept saying he wouldn't do it, he wouldn't do it, he wouldn't pardon his son, he wouldn't pardon his son. And everybody, all the legal experts, nonpartisan think tanks, whatever, are saying like these are charges that would not be brought against most anybody else, but they went through the DOJ, so you either believe in rule of law or you don't, is the argument that's being laid down now. But if I was speaking to the media on behalf of the current president of the United States, I would have said, as soon as Donald Trump was elected, all bets were off. I changed my mind because I don't see it being a fair and equitable, America process that we have seen till now. I think everything is
Did
changing.
you,
And I would have just said, that's why I changed my mind. Sorry.
David Frum,
Yes.
famous Canadian, son of a Canadian,
Yes.
who's a right-wing columnist in the States,
Yeah.
wrote an article today, and I re recommend you read it. He talked about his experience this week on MSNBC,
I read
where
it.
he made a joke about the current the guy who's being potential director of the defense. And he made some
Yeah.
joke about drunkenness and Fox News, and it doesn't really matter. But what he focused on was the fear that this left-wing media outlet, MSNBC, has been clearly provided or told to worry about things like going to jail
Right.
for saying things against Trump. That this is where we're at in America,
This is
and
where we're
his
at.
final point was it's time not to be, I forget the wording, but basically it's time to be brave, not to be afraid.
You
Because
should not be
brave,
cowering. You should
yes,
be standing up. And
because
Charlemagne the
that's
God
addictive.
was on The View
Yeah.
today. Was it today? I think it was today, saying the same thing. He's like, you guys are, the media is just not like, you need to be brave. You need to stand up. You need to say the facts. You don't need to say, I think because somebody told me that he's a fascist or whatever. I'm quoting Charlemagne the God. And I think it was Sunny Hostin goes, we do that here. And he turned to her and he goes, and then you qualify it every time. And she's like, well, I have to read a legal note. I mean, the whole show's a legal note because somewhere upstairs, somebody is protecting themselves from incoming litigation. And as a member of the press, and that's why Whoopi Goldberg was like, I'm not a journalist. I can say whatever the hell I want, right? But somebody's got to do the legal note. Like every time they mentioned Stormy Daniels, there was a legal note saying, President Donald Trump has said that he never had a relationship with Stormy Daniels, to end the segment. These legal notes and the Morning Joe duo, the husband and wife duo who went to Mar-a-Lago and had that meeting in the it's just we're seeing such a change in it.
Well, I don't
It's
think that's so bad, but what I do, if there's
no, the
intimidation
blowback is
happening,
bad.
if
The
you don't think the
blowback is
corporation,
bad. Doing it isn't necessarily bad. It's how
well,
it's
if you don't think your corporate overlords of your company you work for as a media outlet have your back, in the
you got a
day,
problem.
having worked in with pr the print media for a long time. And the press council, which is overseen by the industry itself, not a governing body like the CRTC and radio and TV. The National Press Council in Canada, now national, used to be regional, but now they have a national one, polices itself. And so if you have a complaint about something, and if it doesn't go there, then it's to avoid intimidation and legal action by not only residents and people, but politicians. But I have seen and heard and seen public relations people, phone journalists, and I've witnessed this, unbelievable intimidation tactics that are sometimes effective, depends on the journalist, but scary to say the least. You may have, I've been at the other end as a journalist, from a PR person, from a politician being told that if I did this or did that and this, and it doesn't, it's too bad. As long as I knew I had, but if I didn't think I had my bosses, they didn't have my back, that there wasn't a legal. And the problem is, a lot of these media outlets can't afford lawyers anymore. They're
Right.
so
I've never
consumed media
experienced
outlets.
that. I've never had, oh, sorry. The only time I was ever, somebody ever tried to intimidate me into saying, it was you and I actually, was the park board.
Oh,
Right.
yeah.
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 I had one park board commissioner who I will not name, who is no longer a park board commissioner, so do the math, try and get me fired. And they had my back. And I'm like, I'm not apologizing for saying what I believe because that's what you pay me for. I kept saying, you still want me to work here? They're like, oh yeah, we do, but they're pissed off. And I'm like, okay. You know, what?
Good.
Yeah,
This should
but it
be.
wasn't a PR thing. It wasn't like I was factually incorrect. They just didn't like it. And I'm like,
I know,
okay,
the
well,
problem is
let's
now they're
keep
getting it.
talking
We
about
don't,
it.
well, now it's getting to the point where if you're factually correct, it doesn't matter. We don't want to have this fight because we can't afford the lawyers
Right,
and they can because
right,
what? They're government and they have
right.
unlimited access to legal teams
Right.
and they
That is the
will.
brokenness of it, and why investment in a free press is so important, because you have to have that investment in order for there to be the tools that are needed to protect the people that are going out in front and being bold and brave and telling the truth in the face of intimidation. Because it is intimidating. So when the public is trying to intimidate you at the same time, it's gonna fewer and fewer people are gonna be doing it, and then all of a sudden, you don't have a press. Like, did your podcast tell you about the 7-magnitude earthquake that happened today off the coast of Northern California? I bet it didn't. I bet it actually didn't, right? So I realize that I'm doing this on a podcast. We talk about the things on this podcast every Thursday. You can count on us talking about it. But everybody needs to engage in local news. However that looks for you, you need to be engaged and invested, pay for a subscription, or, you know, do the thing. There you go. 30 minutes. Our time is up, George.
Damn.
Find
I feel like
you
that.
on Twitter.
Let's do more Christmassy themed next week for our final episode. I think it's next week before Christmas break, or is this it? I can't remember.
What's next?
Say
Oh, I
this.
don't know. Well, no, next week I'm filling in for Mike Smith. You let me know if you want to do, but I'm on the fill-in girl
So this might be our last episode to the new year, but
till
unless
the new
there's
year.
lots of news like there was this week, then we'll have to come back. So.
Right. Okay. So watch this space.
Just
And follow along
hope is not
at
news.
George
Underscore. Ouch.
Affleck, at George underscore Affleck. I am at Jody Vance, Jody with a Y. We're also on the Blue Sky. We're
Yes.
on the Bird, we're on the Blue Sky, we're on the Twitter, we're on the Instagram, we're doing all the things.
Facebook. Yeah.
Unspunpodcast.com. Tell your friends.
Bye.